Last week on Wait, Wait, magician Carissa Hendricks told us about breaking the world record for holding a lit torch in her mouth.
So I set the new record at 2 minutes and 1 second, which is embarrassing because the old record was only 1 minute and 32 seconds, so I hurt myself longer than was necessary.
I'm Peter Sagal. See if you can survive the entire hour of our news quiz this week with special guest poet Maggie Smith. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Listen tomorrow morning at 11 on WAMU Washington. Your listener-supported NPR news station from American University. NHD at 88.5 on your smart speaker and at WAMU.org. It's 9 o'clock.
Good morning. Having lost in a lower court, the Trump administration appeals to the Supreme Court to limit mail-in ballots. How would its plan for the Postal Service disrupt voting that begins today? It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Ukrainian students start a new school year under a new wave of Russian attacks. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Russian missiles destroyed warehouses with millions of books over the summer. That leaves some students short of reading material. Also, the U.S. lost jobs in July. What will a report reveal about August? And Kenneth Branagh and Ryan Reynolds play two men on opposite sides of the Cold War. It's Friday, September 4th. This day in 1957, Ford introduced the car of the future, the Edsel. Its future was to get scrapped after 2 years. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The U.S. job market rebounded last month after sluggish hiring in July. NPR's Scott Horsley reports employers added 162,000 jobs in August, while the unemployment rate held steady at 4.1%.
Last month's job gains were somewhat stronger than forecasters had expected, and the employment tallies for June and July were revised up by a total of 55,000 jobs. Hiring in August was concentrated in healthcare and hospitality. Factories and construction companies also added workers. The U.S. workforce grew last month, reversing a downturn in July. Many of the people joining the labor force in August found work, which kept the unemployment rate low. Average wages in August were up 3.1% from a year ago. That's a smaller annual wage gain than the previous month. In recent months, wage growth has not kept pace with rising prices, so workers have seen a real erosion in their purchasing power. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Jury deliberations are set to resume at this hour in the murder trial of Lindsey Clancy. Jurors have been deadlocked for a week over whether Clancy was criminally responsible for killing her three young children in 2023. If a verdict isn't reached, the judge could declare a mistrial. The Trump administration is moving to strip some colleges and universities of their tax-exempt status over diversity programs. The IRS says schools could soon face penalties for programs or scholarships aimed at Black, Latino, or first-generation students. NPR's Adrian Florido reports.
Well, the administration is arguing that these sorts of programs are racially discriminatory. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, who oversees the IRS, said in a statement that, quote, racial discrimination has no place in American education. This is a huge shift. Historically, the IRS has not penalized tax-exempt institutions.
NPR's Adrian Florido reporting. An ICE officer who's facing federal charges for allegedly lying about the shooting of a Venezuelan man has turned himself in. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports the shooting took place during the Trump administration's immigration crackdown in Minnesota earlier this year.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement Officer Christian Castro was taken into federal custody Thursday evening. He is facing multiple criminal counts of making false statements to investigators. That's according to a person familiar with the matter who spoke on condition of anonymity because the case has not been unsealed yet. Castro allegedly lied about the shooting of a Venezuelan man in Minneapolis and the circumstances that led up to it. Initially, the Department of Homeland Security said Castro fired in self-defense after two Venezuelan men attacked him. But video evidence later emerged that contradicted Castro's account in sworn testimony. Castro is expected to make his initial court appearance later today. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
Live from WAMU, I'm Esther Chamakili. It's 9:04. The D.C. Department of Public Works says crews will be working today to cut down trees and haul debris off of roads and sidewalks following last night's storm. About 100,000 homes and businesses are still without power in the region. Prince George's County Public Schools are closed today due to storm damage. Several Metro bus and train routes were running on delays. Check the WMATA website for updates. A constitutional amendment to potentially create a new congressional map in Maryland will remain on the ballot this fall. In a 5-2 ruling, the state Supreme Court struck down two different attempts by state Republicans to block the redistricting amendment from going forward. Justice Shirley Watts appeared skeptical of the GOP's arguments in court yesterday.
So where the General Assembly would pose a question, and on its face, it complied with all of the requirements, why would this court be required to exclude such a question from the ballot?
The court ruled Democrats will need to rewrite the ballot language, saying it appears misleading. State Democratic leaders celebrated the ruling. The Maryland GOP says it's disappointed in the court's decision, but they believe they can defeat the amendment at the ballot box. There are growing concerns across Virginia about a proposed merger involving Dominion Energy, the Commonwealth's largest electricity utility provider, and Florida's NextEra. WAMU's Jackson Sinnenberg has more.
Virginia House Speaker Don Scott is the latest lawmaker with questions about Dominion's proposed merger with Florida-based NextEra. The merger is in the middle of a 180-day review process, which ends in January. In a filing submitted this week to the State Commission overseeing utilities, Scott said affordability efforts, like requiring data centers to pay for their own infrastructure, needed to be part of deliberations. Arlington County is also getting involved in the case, following a board vote this week. Here's Board Chair Matt DeFerranti.
We have concerns as to the long-term affordability of energy, but also clean energy and our commitment to fighting climate change. And we have most of all concerns as to the process of 180 days for such a map, a very significant piece.
Arlington is the first local government in Virginia to intervene, which will effectively allow them to join the legal review of the merger. Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger has also intervened in the case. For WAMU, I'm Jackson Sinnenberg.
In a statement to WAMU, Dominion Energy says the merger will make service more affordable and reliable for ratepayers. The National Weather Service warns we could see more strong storms with damaging winds this afternoon and tonight. Increasing clouds during the day, highs in the low 90s, heat index values as high as 100. So more of the same today before we finally catch a break tomorrow. It is 72 degrees in Sterling, 73 in Silver Spring in D.C. This is WAMU. For more news from us anytime, visit WAMU.org.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Andrew Carnegie Foundation, formerly Carnegie Corporation of New York, working to reduce political polarization through support for education, democracy, and peace. More information at carnegie.org.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Michelle Martin. Good morning. The Trump administration is back at the Supreme Court to push for restrictions to mail-in voting.
The administration wants the Postal Service to check mail-in ballots instead of just delivering them. Lower courts so far have blocked this effort, but the administration is still trying to apply it to the midterm election for which mail-in voting begins today.
NPR's Hansi Lo Wang is back to break this all down. Good morning, Hansi.
Good morning, Michelle.
So this all goes back to an executive order that President Trump signed in March. But didn't the Supreme Court already rule on that order?
Yes, they did just last week. But that ruling was on a procedural question about one of the lawsuits over Trump's order. And now the administration is back to ask the Supreme Court to weigh in on the legality of the Postal Service's plan to follow that order. And I should note, USPS is a financial support of NPR. And basically, the question before the court this time is, does USPS have the legal authority to refuse to deliver ballots to voters if state election officials don't turn over to USPS lists of mail-in voters' names and addresses, and if officials don't have certain barcodes on the ballot envelopes?
Okay, so those are the requirements that the Postal Service, under the direction of the Trump administration, wants states to follow. Are any states doing all of that right now?
No. And a federal judge in Boston has found those requirements for mail ballots are likely illegal because USPS has no authority to control voting by mail. So the judge blocked USPS from imposing those requirements, and that's the block the Trump administration wants the Supreme Court to lift right now.
And what's the Trump administration's argument for that?
The Justice Department is arguing that these new mail ballot requirements the Postal Service wants to impose on states is just a way for USPS to regulate mail, and that this is not regulating federal elections, which the Constitution says are controlled by states and Congress. But the fact is, Congress has passed laws that require USPS to deliver the mail. And the exceptions to that mandate do not include mail ballots that are addressed to real voters and have the right postage.
So that's the legal debate playing out in the courts. But, you know, the election is playing out, too. What is the state of mail-in voting for the midterms today?
Well, for now, there's still a block on key parts of the Postal Service plan. So mail-in voting is still available to all voters who are eligible for it in their states. And USPS is expected to deliver ballots as usual. In fact, North Carolina state law requires election officials there to begin mailing out absentee ballots today, which means today is the first official day of voting for the general election. And other states are gearing up to get their mail-in ballots out later this month. So